Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
The first stanza of the hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We are awaiting Christ's birth. Put yourself in Joseph's position. This was not a birth that he was expecting with great joy and anticipation when he first heard that it was going to happen. The gospel writers tell us that when he discovered that his betrothed Mary was going to have a baby, well, his first impulse was, I want to protect her reputation, but I'm not going to marry her. That's not going to happen. And it takes an angelic visit for Joseph to be convinced that what's happening here is not what he thinks has happened. In fact, something far greater. And he's given in this angelic visit not one but two names for this son that would be born to Mary, that Joseph would raise as his own, even though he isn't the father. One has great meaning, God with us. The other one, even greater, he will save his people from their sins. We're going to be talking about Matthew chapter 1, the angel visiting Joseph. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest on this Monday afternoon, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Joseph really needs a visit from an angel at this particular point in his life, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Otherwise, he's got a real sticky mess on his hands in terms of what he knows is right, what he knows of how things should happen, what order they should happen by the law of God, and by what he knows people will think and say. All of this puts him in a dilemma, and if it weren't for the angel sent by God to help him understand what a miracle is taking place and what God is working in Mary, through Mary, in bringing the Savior to the world, Joseph would have quite a different reaction and perhaps even a different set of actions as a response to what would become obvious to him and everyone as the child grew within the womb of Mary.
So tell us the story there in Matthew chapter 1, beginning at the 18th verse. It's just a few verses, but it's really a remarkable story.
Yeah, it is. It's short and to the point. Matthew's giving us the facts that, and it's beautiful how he starts it out. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. So it's sort of announcing this is the story. When Mary had been betrothed, before the time she was found to be with child, it speaks of Joseph, her husband, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame because they weren't yet, though betrothed, they were not yet married, and by the law, they should not have been together, and there should not be a child between them. And so Joseph has this, and this knowledge, and considers, you know, what to do. He loves this woman, and he doesn't want to shame her. And as he's considering how to handle this, an angel appears before him in a dream and tells him, Joseph, son of David, and that's significant, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then the text goes on, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then Joseph wakes from his sleep, and he does exactly as the angel commanded. He takes his wife, though he did not know her, until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So he continues with her as planned to fully marry her and be her husband, even though she is clearly with child and not by him.
You said it was important that the angel addresses Joseph as son of David. What's important about it?
Well, this is for all of the Jewish people, the children of Israel, through the history of salvation, through those Old Testament miracles and events that include David, the shepherd boy, the one who slew the giant Goliath, who became the king and through whom God promised to, through his line, to bring the Savior. It's a connection to that, and it's a signal for us, the reader, that this is all tied together. This is all part of God's master plan for bringing salvation to us and to all people through his son, Jesus. And it's just it's a signal there for us when we read that.
Now, Joseph is going to hear these words from the angel. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And I just know how any red-blooded male would probably receive that even from an angel. Does it take even that claim there, as ordinary as it sounds to us because it's so familiar to us through our Christmas celebration, does it take faith, divinely given faith, for Joseph to believe this?
Well, absolutely. That's the only only thing, because, like you said, how could a woman conceive by the Holy Spirit? You know, it sounds like some kind of strange story, you know, like aliens or something, because everyone knows how a child is conceived. And it's through sexual relations between a man and a woman. And here is a woman pregnant, so who's the man? If it's not Joseph, then who is it? That's how it works. And yet the Lord is the master here, even over nature. And he does, is able to, and does intervene for his own purposes. And the only way that you can believe that is to trust in the Lord, to trust in the words of his messenger, the angel that comes, and to receive that explanation in faith. Otherwise, there really is no other explanation than that Mary was unfaithful to her betrothed. You know, Joseph could have responded in all kinds of ways from a worldly perspective. You know, he could have just been enraged at this, disbelieving the word. And he could have, by the law of the land, brought Mary before the court, and he could have had her stoned to death. That's how severe this type of breaking of an engagement would be, that she would be with another man. Another option was for him to disbelieve the angel and yet still deal with the matter privately and going on, or he could have disbelieved and gone ahead with the marriage, resenting Mary perhaps and holding her sin against her for all the years that they'd be married. But even that, while still outwardly it gives a father for the child, it's not a true response of faith. And what we see in this text is that Joseph does believe, and he has the only response, truly believing the word of the angel, a true response of faith. He receives it, even though it goes against anything he knows as a man, and he goes forward and obeys what the angel says to take her to be his wife.
It really is a remarkable display of love that can really only be born of faith in that word, because if you think about it, you mentioned before that Joseph if he doesn't get an explanation from God for this, has really got a sticky situation on his hands.
Yeah.
But doing what he does also puts him even further in the center of that sticky situation. He is, in effect, at least to the eyes of the world, he's taking responsibility for her pregnancy. He's bringing the reproach that would have been on her alone upon himself as well.
Yeah.
And he's got to live with that going forward, knowing that no one's going to believe him about this Holy Spirit conception thing.
Well, that's exactly right. And you can imagine the gossip and the slander and the speculation and the laughter, the kind of laughter that only humiliates a man, that, you know, what a fool he's being because this is obviously someone else's child. Or, you know, you're not giving us the whole story or whatever, because you're right. No human's going to believe outside of faith that the Holy Spirit could do the thing that he has indeed done in Mary. And, it's the Word of God that is going to change people. It's what changed Joseph and brings him comfort in the midst of the dilemma. This is not another man's child. It is God's child. It is Emmanuel, God with us. He'll not just be another man when he's born, but he'll be Jesus, the one who will save all people from their sins. And, whatever Joseph's going to struggle with, whatever accusations, all these things are going to be healed and forgiven by this very child, Son of God.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, we got another 10 minutes with her talking about the angel visiting Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Now, when we come back, there are two different names. The one that is referenced in the prophecy, Emmanuel, his name will be called Emmanuel, but the name that they actually end up giving the child isn't Emmanuel, it's Jesus. And yet, this Jesus is Emmanuel, and that Emmanuel is Jesus. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Have you ever wanted to delve into the writings of the early church fathers, but didn't know where to begin? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's our book of the month for December, A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. You can find out more at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Year with the Church Fathers, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How is it that many of the champions of the Great Commission actually deny what the Great Commission says? I've written part two of the Not So Great Commission for the latest Issues, Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Ellie Caro writes about the uncertainty of personal moral improvement and the certainty of the external promises of God. The online Issues, Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about the angel visiting Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Pam, the names here, they're two different names, and it might confuse us because it sounds like the Old Testament prophecy. says his name should be Emmanuel, but when Joseph gets around to naming the child, he names him Jesus. Talk about each of these names individually, and then, if you would, together.
Sure. You know, we noted this, I think, in the last lesson we talked about, that this name Jesus is a distinct name that's now given by the angel. It wasn't mentioned in the original prophecy in Isaiah 7, but it's a distinct name that means the Lord saves. Emmanuel, on the other hand, that is mentioned in the prophecy, means God with us. So you have the name Jesus indicating not just that God will be present with them, but also that he will save his people. So both, you know, he's with us and he saves us. And that's a powerful name. And there's no other name like it under heaven by which we can be saved. And that is exactly what this is all about. This is the one Savior, the one promised all the way back in the garden to Adam and Eve, promised through the ages, now has come. And, you know, you read the prophets, and you hear their lamenting, you hear their condemning of sin and faithlessness, particularly Isaiah 59 announces God's displeasure that there's no justice, all have fallen into unrighteousness, and there's no man who stands up for God. Those are pretty harsh words. Nobody able to restore salvation, and that's the truth. There is nobody, no human, who can stand up and fix things. So God sends himself. He sends his son. He's the one who brings us salvation and righteousness. He's the one who puts on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, becoming incarnate. God incarnate as a baby in his mother's womb, born to save the human race, the Redeemer who comes to Zion. So yes, he is with his people, and he is with them, with us, specifically to redeem and save us.
Now, there's a hymn connection to this because we have that word Emmanuel there in the lesson. Is this a good time to at least take our children into one of those familiar songs of the church that is actually quite ancient in its origin, O Come, Emmanuel?
Yeah, it is a wonderful time. We're in the season of Advent, and that is an ancient Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. It comes from the O Antiphons, the seven verses that are sung as an antiphon to the Magnificat in the Vespers service. You can sing each of them, you know, on each of the final 7 days of Advent. That's an ancient practice. But they're in this hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, and it's really a paraphrase of these O antiphons, each one calling for the Savior to come, and then each emphasizing one of his characteristics. And this is a great hymn. It's easy to sing. It's easy to learn. And it's one of those hymns or songs for life that we teach our children when they're young so that it stays with them through the thick and thin of life and all of the challenges that life in a sinful, broken world bring to us, because this is a song about the one and the only God with us, Jesus, who has come to save us and who has saved us on his cross. They really, each of those verses, as we unpack them for our children in Sunday school, they're reminders for us of all that Christ is for us. He is our wisdom, our Lord. He's the root of Jesse that springs forth from Israel. He's the key of David who opens the gate of heaven to us. He's the dayspring who shines a light on those dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. And he is the King of nations who graciously rules over all people forever. But most of all, when we talk about this, we talk about Jesus being our Emmanuel, our God with us, the one who reconciles us back to the Father. And Joseph knew this. He was raised on these promises. He was raised on these prophecies. And now it would be his dear Mary who would bear God with us, Jesus the Savior.
With this story, with this lesson, we have in place already now in Advent what we could call the Holy Family. Joseph, Mary, and already in the womb, promised and but not yet born, the baby Jesus. This has become for the church a picture of parenthood and of children that's not so much an example for us to follow because we're given so little information about their family life, so to speak, but as kind of the archetypical family by which God continues to protect and nurture life, by which parents continue to nurture children in the faith, the church continues to give birth to new children through baptism. Talk about the Holy Family a bit, if you would.
Well, it is a beautiful picture, and you're right. There's not a lot there in terms of an example. But we do see in this how God sets things up, and he does it for his church, and he does it in the family. And you see in Joseph's reaction, turning in faith to God and what he's heard, and caring for this woman that he has loved and who he has promised to be with, and his care for her, her reputation, and his care for this little one. And, you know, at post-Christmas when they flee to Egypt, you have really a lovely picture of the family and God's will for the family. And yet it's part of that greater picture of the family of God and who God is for us and how he joins Christ with the church and how he brings us individually into his family through the rebirth of our baptism. When we join the family of God, our sins are washed away and we become one of his children, in a family with a perfect father, God the Father, who looks out for us, who saves us, who redeems us, and does it by his Son. And we are nurtured and cared for by his bride, our mother, the church, who feeds us his word, who gives us all his good gifts, and keeps us in his family through the gifts of God. It's a beautiful picture, and it's one that we know Scripture makes for us in Ephesians. St. Paul speaks about that image of marriage, the family, the church, and it's a lovely picture and a true one, and that is the family that we're born into through our baptism.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, it's always a pleasure to talk with you again next week.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
We base our conversations with Pam every week on Concordia Publishing House's Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It's one of those that it's easy to do with these lessons. Everybody's focusing on Jesus right now. But when you get on the other side of the church here, everybody gets distracted by other things, not growing in Christ. Focused upon Christ and his saving work for us year-round in this Sunday school curriculum. Find out more about it. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. In the second hour of the program, I'm going to spend some time at the very beginning with Colleen Carroll Campbell talking about a label that has done more harm than good, persistent vegetative state. We'll see what it was intended to mean 40 years ago when the term was coined and what kind of evil it has wrought, especially among those who allegedly suffer from this state. Sarah Pulliam Bailey from GetReligion.org joins us after that to talk about media coverage of some Catholics protesting a play in Paris and a TV station in Charlotte, North Carolina, mistakenly reporting the death of Billy Graham. Dr. Beverly Yonke will join us after that to discuss holiday depression for a few minutes. Then it's the Issues Etc. comment line on this Monday, December the 12th. That's hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. We've got a Christmas present coming for our listeners It's called Lutheran Public Radio. Now, you've heard of Lutheran Public Radio, the producers of Issues, etc. Now, it's also going to be, starting Christmas Eve, when you open your Christmas presents, a website that will be a new 24-hour internet radio station for the Christmas season, featuring sacred music for the Christmas season, unlike the music that we're hearing now, which is largely pop Christmas music in advance of the season. Lutheran Public Radio will bring you sacred Christmas music for the real Christmas season. A little bit of a present for our listeners. Coming Christmas Eve, Lutheran Public Radio and sacred music for the Christmas season. You can find out more at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Scroll down, you'll see a video that we've posted on Lutheran Public Radio and sacred music for the Christmas season. Watch that video, share it with your friends on Facebook as well, and wait for Christmas Eve to open that present for you, our listeners. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season. Hour two is next in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.